Yeah, if you brought your Bible, hold it up. Kendra's got you. So, high schoolers, we have been kind of doing a journey. If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible. We're going to be in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. High schoolers, this might be... I'll do my best to catch you up, I guess. I know. We've been going through like a back-to-school series in the middle school for the last several weeks. Alright. Reel it in. That's my bad. I shouldn't have done the candy giveaway. Alright, sit down. Be quiet. If you're going to be a distraction, we'll do musical chairs and you guys can all move around. Okay. Like I said, we've been going through the book of Daniel for the last several weeks. It's kind of been our back to school series, just looking at the life of Daniel in captivity and how he navigated that. I pray for the middle schoolers that have been a part of it that it's been encouraging for you guys just to look at, you know, how he handled being in captivity, how he just stayed consistent with who he was throughout all of it. He kept his identity and who he was. The first week we saw Babylon taking the tribe of Judah, and how Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, before temptation even arose. And the challenge was to the middle schoolers to just, before you guys even go to school this year, before you know that temptation is going to be presented to you, that you're preparing yourselves before that even happens. Then we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's their real names?
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Sorry, I knew he knew it, but I knew he knew it because he wanted to say it last time. But we looked at like their connection and how the people that Daniel surrounded himself with, and how that they were all like-minded, and it made his walk easier because they weren't going to go against what, you know, they all have the same beliefs. And then last week, we looked at how through all of the change that Daniel had been going through, different rulers, you know, different kings, that he stayed true to who he was, and how we need to do the same when we're going through adversity and change, that we need to do the same. We need to stay true to who we are. So we're going to finish up this week in the book of Daniel. We're going to be in the last three chapters of the book, about mainly 10 and then 12. We're not going to read in chapter 11 for the sake of time. What is something that all of you guys looked forward to? Like, going at once school is coming to an end. Like, what was something that you guys were looking forward to doing in the summertime? That, like, now that the summer's over, that you're kind of like, man, I'm just ready to go back to school. I'm ready for that to be over. Like, have you guys got anything?
No.
Go ahead.
Being home alone.
Having some alone time. Now you're ready. You're done with it. It was exciting when school was about to be out, but now you're like, man, I am just ready to
work. That's a good answer. I'm excited to work now. I'm so excited to jump with that.
We got
to
make some more room. Come on in. We're going to get comfy.
Yeah, come on in.
All right, so work. Something that you looked forward to at the beginning of the year or before summer started that now you're kind of burnt out on. Go ahead. What? Yeah, everybody does that every year, right? I'm so ready for it to be warm and sunny. And then now it's 106 degrees and everybody's like, I am so done with that. I want hoodies and jeans and cooler weather. Yeah, we do that every year. Would most of you guys say that it's easier to start something strong, like to start strong at something than to see it through to the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it possible for us to, like, right now be mentally prepared for what school has for us? I mean, some of you are going into your senior year. Some of you are entering sixth grade for the first time. Some of you going to your freshman year. You know, is it easier for us to look forward to that and be excited in the beginning, and then that to fizzle out as the year progresses? We could all probably agree that that's true, right? I think of, like, New Year's resolutions when I, like, thinking of that. Like, the year is getting ready to start. We're all excited. We're like, I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to read. For for us at church. It's, I'm going to read my Bible in a year. You know, and we make the preparations or the plans, and we start out strong the first couple weeks. You know, gyms are packed. People are, like, holding true. And then as the year goes and things get challenging, we all start to, like, lose interest. Or we get busy and life happens and we start to fizzle out. So today, chapter 10, Daniel, we're going to read the first four verses and then we'll talk about what's happening. I'll read and then we'll get after it. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, I don't know how to pronounce it per se. So what's happening here? Does anybody know what's going on? If you have a study Bible, it kind of gives you like a precursor to that at the beginning. It's Daniel's final vision, and he's having a vision, and he's taking time after that vision to like mull things over. All right, the vision is kind of troubling to them, and he says, "In those days, in verses 2 and 3, in those days Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks." And it says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he's setting aside time, once he receives his vision, to like seek God. To you know, meditate on what he's got. And the circumstances, they don't sound, I mean, he's mourning the whole time, right? Like, his circumstances don't sound very pleasant. He's crying, he's mourning. I ate no pleasant bread. I don't know, when I don't really meditate on what I'm eating, but the bread's not pleasant to him. Neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. So, the question I have for you guys, from this passage, is, are you setting aside time to seek God? We know that at this point Daniel is doing so. He's seeking God not just because it's what to do, like it's something casual, but he's doing so because he's doing it purposely, like with intention. He had a vision. He wants to understand this vision, so he's seeking God. He's setting aside time to understand what God has for him. So are we doing so purposely? Like, are we setting aside time for God because it's not what's cool or what's present, or it's what we're doing at church on Wednesday or what we're doing at church on Sunday? Or are we doing so outside of church, or not when it's people are looking, like when it's not, you know, the thing to be doing at that point in time? The one thing I have to ask myself is, especially lately, is like, am I willing to give up my time for God? Like, we all get busy. People are going into sports or starting volleyball. Some of you are working jobs and doing all of those things while coming to church. I got a family. I have kids. You know, our kids are doing those things. We're having to run them around. So for me, like, something I have to ask myself, especially as of late, is, am I willing to give up time, my time, for God? Are we allowing the things that we consume ourselves with, the things that we make us busy, to interfere with God, what God has planned for us? Or are we willing to set aside the time, purpose in our hearts, to allow what God is doing, you know, to work through us? We can let our lives become so busy that God just gets pushed aside. It's easy to do. It's easy for us to do. But like Daniel here, we, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's not pleasant, you know, 3 full weeks he's mourning, he's purposing to make the time for God, to allow God to show him what he's got planned out for him. So what are some things throughout the school year that we allow to take like the place of our time with God? Like, what are things that are getting ready to come up that you allow to take the place of time with God?
Probably sports and friends.
Sports and friends. That's a twofer. What else?
Family.
What other things happen when school starts? Besides hanging out with sports and friends? Huh? You put in the world. You got all these temptations and things just swerving around you. You got to get up early. You got to stay up late sometimes. You know, you're tired. You're exhausted. You know, video games. You got to make time for video games. I mean, how am I gonna? Who was our house? Prestige. It was Dylan, wasn't it? Free up. He's not in here. What was it, Jackson? That he said.
He prestiged.
Yeah, he like leveled up. You gotta have time to level up your guys, man. You don't want people to get out in front of you in your video games. Time, friends, video games. It's easy for us to say in those moments, in those times, I'll just read my Bible tomorrow. Like, I'll just do it in the morning. I woke up late. I gotta pack my lunch. I'm just gonna read my Bible in the morning. I'll do it later. We have to be intentional with our time for God. Even when we don't feel like it. I'm assuming Daniel didn't feel like, you know, mourning for 3 weeks and eating just unpleasant bread. But, you know, those were the circumstances that he was given. That's what he was in. And trying to be intentional with his time. So let's read on and see what happens, you know, how everything plays out. I'm going to read verses 5 through 14. It says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I deep in sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly loved, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoke this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with thee, with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people and in latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Okay, a lot took place there. Does anybody want to expound? Like, what do they think's happening? What's happening here? Anybody? Daniel sees an angel. He's getting a vision. And what the main focus for me in this passage, what I want us to focus on, and some of the middle schoolers will hopefully correlate this to what we learned in weeks previous, but in verse 12, he sees an angel and he shares with him what is to come, what's about to happen. But he says in verse 12, he says, "Then he said unto me," he's speaking to Daniel, and he says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, thy words, from the first day that, yeah, set thy heart to stand, to chasten thyself before God." I know for those of you that are in the middle school, like, I might be beating a drum, and I've said it a couple times already today, but Daniel purposed in his heart before the affliction even came. In chapter 1, I'll go back and read it. In verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart," this was the focus for our week 1 lesson, "that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." The angel is reminding him that from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself. We don't want to be in the middle of a sticky situation. We don't want to be in the middle of the school year when we realize, like, I don't want to be doing these things. I don't want to be living my life or succumbing to what my friends are doing, living in sin, whatever it is, dealing with whatever temptation it is. We want to purpose now that we're going to be prepared and prepare our hearts for whatever the world has to throw at us. That way, when we're at school and things do get difficult, things do get trying, that we're not at that point saying, like, all right, listen, I'm going to brush everything off and I'm going to start walking with God. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. We want to do so beforehand. And then it says, just after that, thy words were heard and I am come for thy words. So even when we think that God doesn't hear us, even when we think that he might not be there, in whatever the situation is, you know, things have gotten difficult. My friends are mad at me for whatever reason, or I was late to school, I failed the test, a pop quiz I didn't even know that we were going to have. Daniel's reminded that God hears us even when we don't think he does. When things aren't going the way that we expect, in the middle of a crappy circumstance, that God is still with us. He's still there. It's sometimes at those times when we're in those trying times, when we're dealing with those situations, when God decides, like, this is when I'm going to show myself to you. This is when I'm going to show you, like, this is what you need to be doing. We just can't let things going on around us change who we purpose at the beginning of the year or before school started. We can't let the things that are going on throughout the year change what we already set in our hearts to purpose, you know? Daniel did not let what was going on around him change what he had purposed in his heart in the very first chapter. We're at the end of the book of Daniel now. At this point, we knew in chapter 1 that he was taken into captivity by the kingdom of Babylon. You know, he served under many kings already at this point. He's found favor in all of their sight, you know. But at the end of the day, he's still a slave. Like, he's still amongst people that aren't his people. They have different beliefs and views and visions than he has. Basically, he's living in the world. But he didn't change who he was. Even though all of this is happening around him, all these circumstances, all these things, he didn't change his core beliefs, his core values. So do you guys think it's possible to spend time, like, with people who aren't walking with God, who aren't, they don't have the same beliefs as you? Do you think it's possible to stay with those people that who are constantly making the wrong choice and then you not do so yourself? Like, is it possible for you to hang out with the wrong crowd and then never, ever do what they're doing? I mean, probably not. It would be very challenging to walk amongst the world every day and not give in to the temptation that is around you, all right? This is what Daniel finds himself in. Do the people that we hang around with, do they influence who we are? Do you think that your, like, friends or the people that you associate yourself with, do you think they have an influence on you?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just asking, like, from you guys. But if I went up to your friend group, if I went up to the group of people that you guys hang out with and asked them, like, what kind of person is this person, you know? What do you think they would say about you? Would they call you a church kid? Would they say that this is a godly person? You know, if I put them on the spot, what do you think your friends would say about you? That's just the question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but, like, think about it. What would your friend group say about the kind of person that you are? Like we saw in verse 12, God sees us even when we don't think that he does. When you're at school, when no one's looking, are you helping the little old lady cross the street, even though you're not going to get recognition for it? I'm just using that as an example. Helping somebody pick up their books, you know. If we're do something that brings glory to God, but no one at church, no one in our church group sees it, does that mean that it's any less significant? Like, if we do something that's glorifying to God, but no one even sees us do it, does it change the significance of what we did? No, we're still bringing glory to God. When you help or don't help someone, when you choose to not join in with what everybody else is doing, or you do join in with what everybody else is doing, regardless of it, like, whether you're giving in to sin or not, God's seeing what you're doing. the only person you're fooling when you think that you can live with one foot in the world and one foot out is yourself. The only person that we're fooling when we think that I'm just going to be this way at school and then act this way at church and no one's ever going to know. No one's ever going to see that. You know, no one's ever going to know. All my church people will think I'm a good kid. I'm a saint. And then I'm at school and I'm doing all the things that I know I shouldn't be doing. But no one at church sees it. None of my church people know. So let's finish the chapter. We're going to be in verse 15 through 21. We're just going to read the rest of the chapter. It says, "And when he had spoke such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can I, or how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong." Yeah, be strong. "And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." Verses 17 through 19. Daniel's saying, "For how can a servant of thy Lord talk with the Lord?" You know, he says, "I have no more strength. Neither is there breath left in me. Can't talk. I have no strength." And in verse 18, it says, "There came the messenger comes to him and he touched him." And he strengthened him. And then in 19, he says, "Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong." Yeah, be strong. "And when he spoke unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Daniel in verse 17 is overwhelmed. Yeah, he's not able to speak. He has no more strength left in him. He's like, "I can't go on anymore. I'm tired. I can't do it. How can I speak to the Lord when I don't have any strength and no breath in my lungs to speak?" And this messenger touches him and he encourages him and he gives him strength, builds him back up. He comes to him and he's like, "Listen, you know, you're strong. You're strong. Be strong." And then he's strengthened. "I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." If we all like purpose in our hearts today that we're going to walk the walk when we get to school, that we're going to live for Jesus at school, that we're going to die to ourselves daily and try to be the best person that we can be, that we're going to love God and love people like Brian says, then what's going to be easier for us? Like, is the first week of school going to be the easiest or like the middle of the year? Like, when is it going to be the easiest for us? The beginning, when we're all built up, right? Yeah, but like Daniel, you know, he's running his race. He's, you know, we're coming to the end of the chapter. Daniel's tired. He doesn't have any more fight left in him. When you're going 2 weeks into the school year and you stumble, when you slip up and you make fun of somebody or put somebody down or you do something that's not glorifying to God, or you end up cussing, you give in, and you end up talking like your friends talk, or you do something that's not glorifying to God. Some sin creeps into your life, you know. Are you going to waller in that moment? Are you going to just drop the whole bit, you know? You purposed in your heart before school that you weren't going to succumb to the world. You weren't going to let the world and temptation change who you were. You were going to be this person from day one. But here you are a couple weeks in and you slipped up. You've done something that you know that's not glorifying to God. Are you just going to lay down and just be like, "All right, this year's over. You know, I've already failed at what I tasked myself or challenged myself with. I'll do better next year. I got next year to give it a shot. I'm just going to try harder next time." It's not going to get any easier as the year progresses. You're walking in the world. You're around temptation. You're around sin. It's going to continue to be there. It's not going to go away. Your friend group They're learning who they are. They're changing just as you guys are. But like Daniel, we can't quit. We can't forget what we purposed before the year even started. Just because you slipped up and you made a mistake or you did something you knew you shouldn't be doing, it doesn't mean that it's over. You can still finish the year strong. You can show others that even when you don't live for God every single day, that you can pick back up and start living for God the next day. We all know God's grace is sufficient and that you're going to still do everything that you can to live for Him, even when you have a mishap or a mix-up. At the end of this chapter, the messenger tells him, at the end of this, at the very end, he says, get back up, get back in the fight. He says, we don't always know what God's doing in our life. We don't always understand why things happen to us, why difficult times, why stuff happens to us the way it does. But God knows. God's not going to give us any struggle or circumstance in our life that we can't overcome. He's not going to put something in our life that He's not going to bring us out of or get us through. So we just have to trust God and what He's doing in our life and everything that's going on. And then we're gonna go back. We're going to turn to the end of the chapter, just the very end of Daniel. Chapter 12, the very, very last verse. It says, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. For us middle schoolers, we've been following Daniel for the last several weeks. We've seen his life from the moment he was taken into captivity. We've seen his boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the persecution that they faced from Babylon, and how they never changed who they were. They stayed the person that they were. We saw all the struggles that Daniel was put in and went through. And Daniel has been through some tough stuff, as we can see. Many rulers, lots of visions. He's been at the lowest of lows, pretty tired, feels like he has no more strength to continue on, no more breath left in his lung. We saw him as a young boy at the beginning of Daniel, and now it's like he's an old man at the end of his days, you know. And it says, but go thou thy way till the end be. He's telling him, Daniel, finish your race. Do what you've always done. Be the person that you purpose in your heart at the beginning of Daniel, you know. Who you purposed in your heart as a young boy to be. Finish your race, for thou shalt rest. You've been through some stuff, is what he's saying. But don't worry. Your time will come, and you will be able to rest. For thou shalt rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Basically, you're going to reap a reward for being faithful to me. Like, you will stand in your lot at the end of the days. His journey, Daniel's journey, started with him being taken into captivity. It started with him before he knew temptation was even going to be presented. He purposed to not succumb to it, to be true to who he was. So this, I guess, concludes like our study of Daniel, but it's my charge to you guys that don't just start your school year strong. Like, finish it. Don't, like, purpose now. Do the steps that you're doing now. You're 2 weeks away, a lot of you guys. Take the steps now. My purpose now to not change or what kind of person you're going to be, you know. Set it in your heart or in your mind, like, I'm going to do this all year long. I'm going to be consistent and steady to that. Be who you know you should be. Do what's right. And watch how you deciding to make that decision changes the people that are around you. Watch how your friend group just, like, notices the difference in you. And if not, then surround yourself with like-minded people. People that are not willing to compromise when you, like, say, listen, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to this person's house. Surround yourself with people that are like-minded. The rest of what I was going to say is for the middle schoolers. Me and you guys are gone next week. I'm gone. I'll shut this off. I'm gone next week. Luke and Brenda.